board members, please take your seats. Members of the public, my sincere apologies that we're a half hour late into your time certain. We'll be taking your comments in just a moment as soon as all the board members sit down. Thank you for bearing with us patiently. Board members, anybody who's not yet seated? Okay, I think everyone that's in the room is sitting down. Thank you, members of the public, for being with us again today. And we will take an hour of public comment again. And we have a list here. So I would ask each speaker to restrict yourselves to 3 minutes, and we should be able to get through everyone in the audience within the time allotted. The first speaker on the sign-up sheet is David Combs.
Okay, I'll turn my...
Please feel free to adjust the mic so that it's comfortable for you.
I'll just squat.
Or not comfortable for you.
Okay, this is fine. Okay, this P&B meeting here. We've talked about a lot of things. What I think is going to happen is after you guys go home, nothing will have changed. That is, WBAI will still have 2 hours of music every day. That's 10 hours a week. We'll have crappy programming that got changed, and nothing's going to happen to that. Carolyn Burden, could you please say a word or two about what you think about the programming at WBAI? I've heard you talk about it before. Well, it's crap, she says. She doesn't even listen to hardly anymore. And there's all kind of stuff we could have. We could have Black Agenda Report with Glenn Ford. There's all kinds of things we could have. Now, one thing I want to say is that you guys here, you don't have to change the programming by firing the manager. You know, you could drill down through the person and manage pieces of a station. You don't have to give it total. I mean, you could take control of some things if you don't like the way they are. Like here, you could drill right down through Berthold and go down and change out one thing, and he's still in charge and all that. But you've made things better, and that's all. You could do that, and I think you should. The only thing I hear about here is, and in the meetings I'm on the finance committee at BAI, is reduce cost. You never hear raise revenues. It's always reduce cost. And the only way you want to raise revenues is to get more listeners. And the only way you can get more listeners is by people going out in the street, seeing people, person to person, handing brochures out, talking to it. That has never been done. And I believe that the path of BAI is like this, and here's this meeting now, and I think it's just going to continue going because nothing is going to change. And it's too bad. My whole life has changed because of WBAI, which I started listening to 12 years ago, just before Samori died. And it's really too bad, and I don't see any way out. I don't know who's going to pay for the tower. I don't know where money's going to come from. No one cares about getting more listeners. Too bad. Maybe you'll have something on the internet we can listen to live satellite radio. I don't know. But it's really too bad. It's been a wonderful station, and it's going to disappear before we know it.
Thank you. Don DeBar?
Don DeBar. I do, by the way, a morning, 3-hour morning show, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. New York time, cprmetro.org. And outside of the 3 minutes here over the course of this coming week, there are a couple of issues affecting Pacifica that I'll be speaking with people and speaking about the issues there in as much time as it takes to probe them properly. I wanted to make sure that I amplify the statements I made yesterday about the condition that you find yourselves in as a consequence of the gross negligence of allowing the corporate charter to be suspended. That's what it would be if you had a client, if you were a lawyer, for example, and you let one of your client's corporations lapse. Your malpractice carrier would consider it gross negligence, as would the court after they sued you. The point I want to make is this. many of the things get, I won't say corrected, but reinstated along with the charter once you have the corporation revived. But some things do not, and some things do not get undone. And in particular, what does not get undone is the misrepresentation of the tax status of the corporation to the public as you fundraise. It still hasn't been, you know, told to us yet. I'm going to find out from the Secretary of State this coming week, and I'll tell people that listen again, cprmetro.org. But the duration of the suspension, from the beginning of that until you file the supplemental filings with IRS to correct it, your 501c3 status was suspended along with it. And that means that each time someone said your deduction, your donation will be tax deductible, it was a false statement, which is not going to be undone by the filing of the corrective documents with the Secretary of State. You would have to have told people during Fund Drive that your donations will most likely be tax deductible, or we hope they will be tax deductible when we file corrective filings with the state and IRS because of a mistake that we made, or however you wanted to characterize your negligence. But what you did was misrepresent your tax status each time you made the statement that their donations would be tax deductible, and every donation that came in with people who believe that, each one of those acts was essentially a criminal violation, as is the misrepresentation up front. Now, if there were people in management that knew that the corporate status was suspended, and they either told people something different or they sat back and allowed people to misrepresent it, those people stand in a special place, and I'm wondering if they sought legal counsel at the time about what they should and shouldn't say. The reason being...
You're at 3 minutes, sir.
Well, the main reason being this. If you did that without a memorandum from your counsel, you were foolish. And if such a memorandum exists, I'd like to see it.
Thank you. Next speaker is it Lisa Davis?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to go ahead and start setting a clock that'll go off obnoxiously on its own. Should have been doing that all week.
When I look around and I see the compositions of the boards and the way things are, two words come to my mind, more horrible. I was going to take most of my time and talk about how foolish and ridiculous the architects of the coup of 2009 must look, such as Steve Brown, Carol Spooner, Grace Aaron, because they made some decisions that were just outrageous. And things are far worse than even I could have imagined. Such gross and utter incompetence is just not acceptable. And they should be so ashamed of themselves, but I know there's no depth that they could sink to that could make them ever feel that. But I'm going to take the rest of my time because I know that there are some people in this room who are truly progressives, so I will really be directing this message toward them because there's a very, very important case that is currently going on in Newark, New Jersey, involving an attorney, Paul Berggren, a whistleblower, to the extent that we know anything about the United States authorizing abuse and torture and the so-called current wars on terror has a lot to do with his work. He represented one of the soldiers in Abu Ghraib, and when he was representing that soldier, he wanted to put George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld on the stand. When George Bush wanted to destroy Abu Ghraib, he was the attorney who stopped it. And then at one time there was the case of Operation Iron Triangle. We might not have ever heard of Bradley Manning had he been able to take that case to court because he was going to show that the U.S. was telling soldiers to shoot to kill every Iraqi male of military age on site. And what happened with that case was while he was about to do a proceeding with that, they arrested him and charged him with these spurious charges of operating a prostitution brothel or whatever like that. Basically, he's a defense attorney, so it's guilt by association. And then he sort of cleared himself out of that. And then when the Obama administration released these memos proving that the U.S. was authorizing torture, he said, I'm going to reopen Abu Ghraib because now I can prove my case and clear one of the soldiers' names. And while he was about to do that in 2009, he was arrested and charged with murder. I've been following this case from day number one. The charges are absolutely ridiculous and spurious. He's currently representing himself, and he's doing a brilliant job. The first trial ended in a mistrial. 10 jurors, I think, wanted to find him not guilty, two did not. And now the case is going on again in Newark, New Jersey Federal Court on Walnut Street inside of the main post office in Newark. The judge is Judge Kavanaugh, and it's room 3, courtroom 4. But people really need to watch this case because the ramifications that this is going to have for attorneys. I mean, we already know things are bad as it is, but he's been in prison for 4 years. They denied him bail, put him in solitary confinement for 9 months.
You're at 3 minutes.
Okay, I finished.
Thank you. The next speaker is Frank Lefebvre. Yes, sir. Sorry.
Okay. Frank Lefebvre, the recently elected member of the WBAI local station board. And my special words for today are synergy and serendipity. Now, this is just going to be a soundbite. If you want a fuller development of my ideas, contact me at helpfixwbai@yahoo.com, and I can send you something I've written on this, plus some things I'm going to be writing after today's meeting, and I will also invite ideas and collaboration. Now, synergy, that's a phenomenon where you add one thing to another thing, you add one and one, and you get more than two. And I think that is something that can come out of the separate stations and separate people in Pacifica getting together and really sharing ideas. Brian DeShazer's presentation last night really blew my mind or expanded it. I'm popping with ideas as to how we can partner with Pacifica Archives in ways that will boost our membership and fulfill our mission to educate. Now, there are a couple. I'm a former college professor. We've got a couple more board members teaching at the college level here, Manisha Sabe and Carolyn Burden, and they are kind of fired up also about the educational possibilities of this kind of teamwork. So there's synergy there. Now, serendipity, that's looking for one thing, but finding something else along the way which may be even better than what you're looking for. We were looking for a place to put our studios when we had to leave 120 Wall Street, where the phones are still not operating after Hurricane Sandy. And we may have found something else. We may have found a way to reconceptualize our mission in terms of collaboration with college students and faculty, in ways which I think can go beyond tenure at City College and include other colleges in the New York City area, NYU, Pace, Columbia, so on. And I was going to say something else. Maybe I'm having the senior moment.
Okay, Frank, we're listening. Thank you.
Yeah. These things, by the way, obviously fit in neatly with the educational mission and the need to bring in new people. Oh, I said yesterday, and I mean it, that properly managed and properly invested in, now investment means time as well as money, WBAI can become a cash cow for the entire Pacifica network, and I'm not kidding about that.
Thank you, Frank. You're at 3 minutes. The next speaker is Ken, is it Laufer?
You
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Ken Laufer, a longtime listener from the 60s to WBAI and a recently elected member of the local station board. WBAI must try any and all good ideas to improve our finances, and these ideas must be put into effect simultaneously. We really can't do it any other way. Here are some, for example, some ideas. One, look for a permanent home. Two, unions and other progressive organizations should have shows or parts of shows on the air, thereby probably getting hundreds, maybe thousands of new members. We should ask successful progressive famous people to underwrite the station, such as Yoko Ono, Susan Sarandon, and so on, even those who already just have little carts on the station, like Cindy Lauper and Alec Baldwin. We should get wild and crazy programmers from the former Air America to have shows on our station. Now, if Mike Malloy had a show, I think he would bring maybe millions of people to listen, and from those millions we could get many more listener sponsors. The Steve Brown ideas, we should try and do all of them, every single one of them simultaneously right now. No matter what you think of him, he has very good ideas. For example, trial memberships given out on the streets. That's what David Combs said. We should go on the streets, get people to just have trial memberships. Thereby, we get their phone numbers, and we can call them and bother them later on to become members. All right, number six, hand out leaflets or trial memberships at all kind of progressive events and progressive churches like Riverside Church and Cathedral of St. John the Divine. There are many, many events throughout the year. There's one coming up on March 14th. All Souls Church is going to have a Koch Brothers busting evening. Okay, seven, funds to raise money to get one day, this is probably a long-term goal, to get a billboard on the New Jersey approach to the Lincoln Tunnel and the Queens approach to the Midtown Tunnel. Perhaps ads in the subway, where a whole side of a subway car, that's how they do it, a whole side of a subway car would be devoted to WBAI. Now, we should also have concerts, events, the free music store, where people could be become new members or perhaps donate some more money. We should get Gary Null, who of course is a son of a gun, we should get him to fundraise again for BAI. Democracy Now! Should be broadcast at least twice a day, and we should have a large internet presence with a YouTube presence, as I think a name is Cookie suggested. That's a very good idea. And of course, we should have changed the programming. If we poll the listeners and get certain kind of evaluations of what is wanted, we should change the programming in such a way. And the last idea are any other ideas, which I didn't mention, if I covered everything now, right? Many ideas from wherever they come from, and even opposing factions on our board will have great ideas. We should use them and do them, and we do them all at once. We have to.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mitchell Cohen, please.
Hi. Well, I'm no more a lawyer than Don DeBar is, and so I would like to address, as Don DeBar did, this question of suspension of our corporate status, which to me seems to be, except in the case of Washington, D.C., and being able to not be able to rent a place because of that, it seems that that problem is pretty much taken care of and isn't a problem any longer. But I would defer somewhat to Dan Siegel, who knows this stuff backwards and forwards as a California lawyer, and who, under his, when he was interim executive director of Pacifica, was when this whole thing started, actually 6 years ago. You may not be aware of it, but that's when this whole thing came about. It's which shows that it is not a significant problem, I believe. But the fact that factionalists have failed to mention how this all comes about, and you know, and using it for a certain try and dealing with a problem that they're inventing, is, you know, not a. That's not where we should be going. We should be trying to resolve the problems. The other problem has to do with, one of them is with the antenna of that WBAI has use of on the top of the Empire State Building. Yesterday, a member talked about how horrible it was. It is. It's a horrible situation we're in. The board has not produced, which I've asked for and others have asked for years now, a white paper of some sort exploring all the different options that are available to us, whether they're a little bit fantasy or not. But put something out there. Let people comment on it. What are the different options available? Can we set up repeaters around outside the city, in the city? Can we use different buildings? Can we use a whole different setup the way Sprint does, off of the top of actual lampposts? I'm not saying we should do that. I want to see a report on that developed, and then we could discuss it. Can we bounce off the satellites the way Deep Dish does? There are all sorts of possibilities that we're not even addressing because it's not coming from the board with that type of paper. I've talked to some engineers who have all sorts of different ideas who are outside of the Pacifica realm and who I'd like to bring into helping to work on that if you would assign somebody to do that and that we could plug into that. Now, the other thing is that all the funds, as other people before me have spoken, the funds are there for the taking. We're leaving them sitting on the table. We showed how BAI itself gets around a little less than $2 million a year that's left sitting on the table when people make a pledge on their and then they don't fulfill their pledge for one reason or another. And there are things that we could do. It's not complicated to get those funds immediately. And the same exists at other stations. But management is not doing that. And I agree with David Combs about needing to drill.
You have 3 minutes.
Okay. To drill into our director, not directors, into our managers and order them to do what they should be doing or else we're going to be dead. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is, was it Bashir Machawi? Bashir? Machawi? Mchawi.
Bashir Mchawi.
Sorry.
Mchawi, not bad. Good afternoon, everyone. I won't tell you all the things that I do. I am a producer and host at BAI. I've been involved for a long time. I can say, yes, I am a professor. I teach at the City University of New York, but that's not important. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. The first issue is, how do you move a radio station and move it to a place where you have no telephone and no internet and no place to produce news? I believe that the current management team that we have is incapable of planning and doing anything well. And I think this move is obviously just a symptom of that overall failure. I was there at WHCR on Thursday, and we had very few of the tools necessary to produce quality radio. My next issue has to do in regards to the question of personnel. At WBAI currently, we have no process. We have people who have essentially been appointed by the manager, and there has been absolutely no process. This goes for a development person. It goes for we have no program director currently. And it also goes now for our interim operations director. There has been absolutely no process at all. And the third thing is, based upon these things, what is the future of WBAI? There have been, over the last few days, a number of revelations in regards to how far we are behind in our rent, or were behind in our rent, at 120 Wall Street. And then, of course, there's the issue in terms of the idea that the antenna at the Empire State Building is in jeopardy because we owe at least 4 months for that. Now, at the same time, we've heard from the general manager that, well, things have been better financially. If, in fact, this is the case, how do we find ourselves in the particular situation that we do right now? Please, somebody, answer me.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker is Jim Dingman.
Yeah, hi. I want to continue to discuss the programming issue at the station. First of all, the programming grid that was established 20 years ago has collapsed. I think that's true in all the stations throughout the system, given the study I gave you that you all received in 2008, which talked about that. The Sandy, by the way, just to talk about what Sandy did here, we had a 0.1% listenership. It just collapsed because we get real streaming data, and that showed how the audience had essentially declined by almost 60% to 30%. Now, I want to make some suggestions. First of all, I think all the stations have to incorporate live stream like a C-SPAN channel. I've been watching the Occupy Wall Street people use this technology quite effectively. And we have to cover demonstrations, events. I personally think we should be looking for international publicity events. I think we should film the nudist parade in Berlin and show that on the air on a website, because we don't have to worry about the FCC. We have to think about things that take us out of the sort of pejorative way the mainstream media looks at us. I also think we have to split the signals. We have to move the station into virtual stations. We have to do like BBC 1, 2, 3, and 4. So some people, we all know the listenership data. The listenership data is that the people who listen to jazz, they're in their 60s, classical music 70, NPR about 65, BAI 66 is the age that listens. So we have to split up the signal and we have to create a jazz channel, a classical music channel of quality that can be heard internationally, put all the conspiracy stuff in one channel, let everybody have fun with that, and we got to think creatively about how to increase our audience. The terrestrial station has to be played with right now because, as I say, one-third to two-thirds of 0.1%, so we have to clear space. And with displaced producers, we all know, it's sort of like John Hurt and the alien. John Hurt eats that food, then pops out the alien. So you got the problem of a lot of people who put a lot of time and effort for 20 years, and all of a sudden they're thrown into the garbage can. That can't happen. We have to use all that talent in a way to help take a virtual network and create it. So what I'm saying is that we got to really sit there and be creative right now. I personally think that every single university journalism program in the city, at CUNY, NYU, Columbia, etc., we got to give them an hour, a shot, and let them come in and do whatever the hell they want. We also should give an hour to the Personal Democracy Forum. They're all hooked up with all the internet people. That's all they do is talk about internet free speech. And we got to create a strip that allows that kind of stuff to happen. We have to have a lot of experimentation going on. Another thing I think we have to do is we have to incorporate in every station radio universities. We have to sit there and take professors who teach sound art, radio production, editing, Final Cut Pro, etc. We got to start teaching people. We got to retool everybody.
You're at 3 minutes.
All right. Finally, last comment is that I have a lot to say about the move. It was handled in a half-assed way, to be blunt. People, if you're going to move in the future, they have to be communicated with. I spent 20 years in the business. The most stressful thing that people go through in life is the third number of stress is moving. So we have to not make that mistake again when the next move happens. Thanks.
Thank you very much. The next speaker is it Mario Mastron?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good, thank you.
All right.
Excuse me, members, can we please pay attention to the public? Thank you.
Just speaking of just some ideas, I work in a kitchen, and I just want to put this out there. I've seen many times when a creative person who's in the lesser part or the structure of the kitchen, as a part of the team, if the higher-ups, the executive chef or a pastry chef, if they get intimidated by a very creative person who will create good positive results, sometimes they get rid of that person, and the kitchen goes down eventually, 3 to 4 months later. So this is the way it is in life. So we have to now nurture very creative people who come up with very creative, simple ideas, and we have to put them in practice, actually take action. So I was thinking, I watched the Bob Fosse movie the other night for the first time, and I'm saying, this guy is BAI. This guy is what it's supposed to be. This guy, what Pacifica is supposed to be. I've never seen the movie. I didn't know he got fired for all those years. I mean, to just get on the air and talk about, hey, let's all meet at the airport, and 10,000 people show up. We got to bring that back. This is what we got to do. So, all right, a quick fix right now that's just off the top of my head, off the cuff. I'm listening to media, I'm watching TV, and I'm saying, well, what's really popular now everywhere? So we could do this from a BAI perspective, from an old progressive alternative type of producers and people. Get some, what's popular on TV now? Lots of cooking, travel. You can incorporate these things in what's already going on. Regular radio now increased another show. They took a health guy off, Dr. Hoffman, and put on another UFO investigative who killed Kennedy kind of show. It's just look at what's really out there and come from the Pacifica perspective about putting it on our stations. Go to local stations in the broadcasting areas, TV, cable, and radio, and see what's popular in those stations, and put on those shows in the five stations or in the Pacifica Broadcasting Network. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is M. Saidi McLaughlin.
Good afternoon again.
Good afternoon.
My name is M. Saidi McLaughlin, and tonight at 11 o'clock through 1 o'clock, you would have listened to me tonight, and I would have had John Carlos call in on the phone and talk to him about the DVD that I created out of all of the money I managed to steal from Peter to pay Peter and buy equipment to produce this at home. But he can't call in because he's traveling. And I can't have the audience talk to him, nor can I put or project the DVD or the audio CD that I produced over the time. Yes, it's a sports show. So what? And the reason why it is a sports show is because when, after the various coups that had happened at WBAI, I looked at the grid and I said, what is it that would keep me there that is missing, that was no programming? And there was no sports programming. And Marx did not say sports is the opiate of the people. Because if he had, he'd have been a millionaire now, and we could have more money. And what I'm saying is, I look around, and if I were to do a demographic in terms of age, there would at least be three categories left out. Though some of us came to WBAI where we were young and beautiful, some of us are still beautiful. Some of us have gotten older and have remained current. But people allowed us at 19 and 20 and 21, and maybe some of us who had babies, to come to the station and work with older people to learn and to mentor and to cross-pollinate and share. That no longer exists. Because you think that the space that you have is yours, but somebody created it for you. It's all right to be executive producer and say, well, let me show some youth. And then you couldn't get a show unless you what? Learn how to edit, learn how to walk around, learn how to talk to people, learn how to write a press release. We no longer have that training. Now, what I'm going to do with some of the shows that I have put together is I want to put it up on AudioPort, and I want to get it so that maybe Pacifica could support me, to help BAI to support me, to have other producers who come to me and say, well, what about this, M. Saidi? What about this, M. Saidi? Why don't you do this, M. Saidi? And I said, okay, because now that I'm 62, I'm collected by Social Security. Okay, so I do have a fixed income. But I need to stop participating in this band pass filter that allows us to no longer reach the people where they're at. We need to do that. Step outside yourself. I don't care whether you're black, white, straight, gay, old, crippled, non-crippled, previously in a hospital, whatever. We do not exist alone. And ultimately, the person at the mic is the one that's what's going to determine what comes back to the station. Now, how does it get there? That's been another story. And so I end, but I reserve the rest of my time to be committed to the concept of what made Pacifica be what it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ed Manfredonia.
This is an article that appeared in Business Week. It was based on information that I gave. 12 pages, they won. More than one page is devoted to me, so for those of you who don't believe what I'm saying, you know, you have to be pretty stupid. This is a quote from it. That's true. He learned that employees of a specialist firm run by a highly placed figure, his name was Robert Van Kanikam, by the way, at the exchange, had allegedly been sexually assaulted by the official. They were all scared. Every one of those women was scared. They came to me. That's why the FBI always says, why do they come to you? They don't trust anybody. And I don't trust the FBI, believe me. The woman would not come forward, but Manfredonia did. That got me thrown off the floor of the American Stock Exchange. Okay? And you people, of course, don't believe anything. And then there was another, I was in several articles, but this one was that I'm more believable than Frank Zob. Then later on, I cooperated with this fellow on another article. The fellow was arrested. He pleaded guilty because they had evidence against him. They told him, you know, you're going to get a $20 million fine, sentenced to 2 years in prison. But he tried to mitigate it. So he went to Mary Jo White, actually went to Doug Jensen, who was the assistant head of the criminal division in New York, and he said, I'll give you Richard Grasso, Speer, Leeds, and Kellogg in the New York Stock Exchange and Goldman Sachs. No jail. Or you lessen my sentence. They wouldn't talk to him. He offered them Goldman Sachs because Goldman Sachs had an illegal trading operation. So Speer, Leeds did too. So whether or not you believe me, these are people who come forward to me. They trust me. You people on the board here, if you can't understand what goes on Wall Street and how things are illegally traded, how money's laundered, that's what people are interested in. They're not interested in past causes. They want to know why the United States has gone downhill like this, and that is precisely why. Also, one member of the board called me a homophobe, making homophobic attacks. Of course, I live with someone who's gay, so I don't know how the hell that happened. I told him, and he thought people were crazy. Said I interrupted meetings. We only get to speak at two, you know, for 2 minutes. I hand out papers when they're busy. I only hand out the papers when you can during that time, and I'm always rushing because I don't want to impinge upon the freedom of anyone else to speak. And then the thing was, well, what does Chris Christie have to do with WBAI? Well, the fact is that his brother should have been in prison, and I was the one who wrote the articles about it. The Times knew about it, glossed over it. He made $300 million in 15 years working as the co-president of Speer, Leeds, and Kellogg, later Goldman Sachs specialist. But that's not important. What's important is that he manipulated the price of AIG with traders there. Now, you may not want people to know that, but when he's our next president, Chris Christie, if he is, I'm sure that you would want that.
He's got 13 seconds.
My articles were mocked, and I wrote for a black newspaper.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker is Bob Lederer.
Good afternoon. I have three topics today: the crisis facing the antenna, the suspension of the Pacifica Charter, and the role of the Elections Committee. Louder? Okay. All right. Okay, so it was very unfortunate yesterday that when Bertold Reimers gave his report, he didn't address some vital questions about the antenna, which had been raised by speakers during public comment. So let me formulate these as five critical questions that I hope that the board will pose to Summer Reese during her report. Number one, how was it allowed that the rent on this vital lifeline for WBAI falls so far behind that it triggered an eviction proceeding, a.k.a. a holdover proceeding? Number two, has a settlement with the Empire State Building, in fact, been reached? If so, what are the terms, including not only what is needed to be done by the third week in March, which Bertold told us, but what about the consequences for any future failures to forward the rent on a timely basis? Number three, what is the plan to generate the $200,000 required by the third week in March? Number four, what is the longer-term business plan to keep the antenna payments current? And I might add that the current call center that the station is using because of the unavailability of space to house volunteers to answer the phone has been an abject failure. Many, many listeners are reporting that their attempts to pledge are turned away by operators from that company that don't know anything but the official name of the premium on the piece of paper in front of them. That needs to be looked into. And finally, I would urge the board to insist that the executive director, the interim executive director, provide frequent updates on the course of this case to make sure they're not caught unawares, as they were in this case, by the total lack of notice to the board. And I'll send this list a little later to the board. Just one footnote on the question of options, possible alternatives to this current antenna at the Empire State Building. That was actually one of the provisions of the motion brought by Bernard White at our LSB last August that was voted down by the board majority. And we continue to think that that's a really important step that needs to happen. Second, on the suspension of the charter, I'm not going to go into that anymore. I think it was laid out, but I do think the board needs to insist on a full explanation from the IED as to what is the current status and what steps are being taken to remedy that and address the consequences that were mentioned earlier. Finally, as to the Elections Committee, board member Carolyn Burden yesterday cast aspersions on the idea that our committee, which I've chaired for last year, has spent much of last year after the appointment of the National Election Supervisor working closely with him to ensure that the elections work smoothly. And in fact, this was a very healthy and positive process supported by all sides that resulted in policies being clarified, procedures having due process, and steps that this board had taken with the support of that member, by the way, in years prior to mandate certain quantities of on-air carts and forums and so on be adjusted to reality of what a functioning radio station needs to do. So
thank
I think that role needs to continue.
Thank you, Bob. Next speaker is William Heerwagen.
Hello again, William Heerwagen, from here in New York, BAI. Mundane, sort of boring kind of stuff. The financial statements, which I thanked the IED for yesterday, are nice. They show, I guess it's supposed to be actuals for the first quarter, which is October 1 to December 31 last year. But there's nothing to compare it to. Maybe the budget, maybe last year's actuals. There's no way of knowing if these numbers are good, bad, indifferent. And then beside that, as I said yesterday, we don't have a balance sheet. And as I was looking at some of the details which are on it that you can figure something from, there's a line called rent expense tower. And this is supposed to be for 3 months. It says $59,000. So I guess what this is the result of Pacifica using this non-accrual, and they should be using accruals, but they don't, cash basis. It's ridiculous. That's 1 month rent. And it looks like, it makes it look like, oh, they paid the tower rent. Bull. That shows they only paid 1 month when they should have paid three. And if we had a balance sheet done properly with accruals, we'd see that we owed those 2 months, or maybe it was really four. Maybe the last quarter they only paid one. So these financial statements are not enough. We need the balance sheet. We need something to compare it to. Something else that I noticed on there. Let's see. What is it? Oh, just a reminder to me, the telephones. We have, telephone expense of X thousand dollars. There's still, we never got the contract for the telephone system that Laverne brought in. And we don't know if we still have two or maybe even more telephone systems at BAI that we're paying for because her system didn't work properly. Then also, let's see, what else would I like to talk about? So the finances, even the little bit of reporting we got is not enough. The Spanish language program that I referred to yesterday that other people talked about before me, and I mentioned one of your former members, Alex. The reason I mentioned him was Alex Steinberg, was that after this board, or the prior incarnation of this board 2 years ago, passed the motion to say, yes, we're going to Spanish language programming. It's all going to be on the air at every station in January of last year. He put forward a motion saying, well, we got to rethink this. We don't really need Spanish language. So I'm not casting dispersions on him. He put through a motion saying we shouldn't do the Spanish language programming. So I don't want you to think I'm just calling out names because I don't like people. It's what they do. Let's see. Summer, you offered help to BAI for pitching. Sounds like 4 years ago. Grace Aaron said the same thing. She was going to send in help. We lost our manager. We lost our program director. Did you say something?
I said you had 3 minutes.
Thank you. We lost our program director and we lost our program schedule. We got 12 or more people banned from the station with no charges, nothing in writing. Thank you.
They got rid of the general
Thank you.
Program director.
Yeah. The next person on stack is Nia Bediako.
Hola.
Hello.
I had a really upbeat comment to make, but then I didn't know that William was coming before me, and what he just mentioned about the financial statements, and then I'm all down again. So I'm making an appeal to whosoever created the financial statements that to please do them correctly. If I almost said we, I forgot it's been almost 48 hours since I have been a director. But see, that's the thing. If you guys give people the correct information, then we won't have to make these types of comments. It's important to do that. And if that happens, it's a lovely thing. You probably won't have any listener comments. That's number one. And it's really easy to do that. Just generate the proper statements. If folks need help, I know William knows what to do, you know, and he can help. But they need correct information. Because what William just said, I haven't seen it. It's mighty strange how I've been asking since I was on the board. And the moment I left, here they come. So I haven't seen them. I don't know what William is saying, you know, if they're right or wrong, but I do trust that William is telling the truth. So if you could please correct that. The other thing is, the two things that concern me, and one, of course, is my signal area. You know, Charity Begins at Home, which is the antenna, and two is WPFW. I don't know what is on your executive session as far as that is those things are concerned. But I think it is critical. If it's not there, I don't know if I think you should add them, and to have those issues at I and W addressed. Because I just want to remind you, the foundation is only as strong as its weakest link. WBAI, we need to have a discussion. And the folks who are now on the local station board, this is like happy week here. I was talking to Brown. I call him Brown. It's Steve Brown. You know, I don't like Steve, but I like Brown. That's just a joke, Brown. I was talking to Alex, and I said, you know, there are times when we do agree. Here, you guys seem to be really getting along really well from what I've seen. And usually at the beginning of every year, When I sell the new board, I always say to please close ranks. Let's come together and work together for the good of the foundation, not for your friends, but for the good of the foundation. So if you could please, if those items, the antenna, the charter, and WPFW, if you could please address those things, because again, we need to have them functioning. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Nia. That was the last speaker. Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak who did not sign up on the sign up sheet?
No. I'm the only one in the place who talked about new listeners.
Okay, thank you, sir, but you're not.
New listeners.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. So anyone who has not yet spoken who would like to speak, if you'd like to line up the microphone. We're close to the hour time limit. I just want anyone who didn't speak can go ahead and speak. We have a few more minutes. So go ahead, Marcia.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't speak.
Okay, yes. Anyone who didn't speak, I'll recognize you if you spoke already. Don't worry. Okay, go ahead, please, Marcia.
All right, thank you. Yet again, I want to bring up the issue of where are we moving? I just handed out a letter that I had written 2 years ago. I don't know if that property is still available. If we had moved there or any similar place, we would be either in the black or close to. We'd be on our way because we would have saved hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hundreds of thousands. And all the excuses that these other people made for 2-3 years, they were forced to do all these things last week. No. Next to you. I know that there has been... By the way, nobody paid me to do any of that work. I did it all for free. But then they go out and they hire real estate people and other people to do the work that some of us have done for free. But they won't listen to the people who do the work for free. I know that they are still looking for places. It's done pretty much in secret, so I can't tell you where the buildings are they're looking at. But I mentioned in that letter that wherever we go, it has to be affordable, obviously. They were looking at places that were $6 million. That's not affordable. It had to be near a major subway hub so that as many people as possible could get there both for work and for volunteer work and as guests. We can add another one now. It should not be in a floodplain. This place that I had found got no flood damage, no wind damage, nothing. Some of the places they have looked at in the past were in flood zones. So every 5-10 years, are we supposed to redo our physical plant? And always the members are asked to pay for all their mistakes. I beg you, do not agree to anything unless you have done a very serious review of where it is they want to put us and ask yourself more questions than when I put in that document I gave you. We need also, I said this before, we need to be in a real community that we can draw on for members. The South Bronx is a real community. 120 Wall Street never was and never would be. And there are still people who are saying, we have to stay in Lower Manhattan. Don't ever allow that.
Thank you. You're at 3 minutes. Thank you, Steve Brown.
Welcome to New York City. I hope you come here as saviors. My name is Steve Brown. Welcome to New York. I hope you come here as saviors. All these comments were mostly recriminations, and most of them were well-founded, but that's all water under the bridge. WBI is moving. The bad financial statements, if that's what they are, have already been prepared. The foundation, as well as the station, has one real problem. It doesn't have any money. It's really insolvent. And I've heard nothing that indicates that the network has any hope of an instant infusion of cash that will relieve its problems, give it breathing space to deal with programming grids and finances and staffing and whatever else it has to deal with. But there is a source, which I've talked about for many years. WBAI leaves about 30% of its pledge money on the table every year. The other stations do better, but they still leave anywhere from 15% to 20% on the table. That's about $4 million a year, probably, that Pacifica does not collect, that it could collect very easily. I've submitted plans for how it can do this. It's very easy. Everybody in fundraising knows how to do this except Pacifica. And if you paid attention, you could start with the first fund drive and get $1,200,000 in cash. That would relieve you a lot. Then I suggest you get the rest of that money over the year and spend a good part of it on the second part of your problem, which is that nobody knows Pacifica exists. You need to advertise. I talk to station managers and say, well, we put carts on the air all the time. That's worthless. You're only talking to the people who already listen. You need to publicize Pacifica stations, not the stations themselves, but the programs themselves. Nobody cares about stations. They want content. They want programs. You have to publicize it on other radio stations. You have to publicize it in magazines, newspapers, on the internet. And you have to produce events that the media will publicize on their own because they're important. None of this goes on Pacifica. You have no way out of your present problem unless you deal with the two that I've just spoken of. I'm not going to offer my services in fixing this, although I know how to do it, because no one's taken advantage of them before. But those are your two problems. You have to deal with them or you're sunk. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, folks, thank you. We've had just almost an hour, about an hour of public comment. So thank you to all the members who spoke and have come today. And we'll go back to the board at this point.